Are you ready to advance your career, hone your skills, or explore new vocational paths without spending thousands of dollars to further your education? Skillfeed.com features over 65,000 video tutorials to keep your creative and technical skills current. Choose from long courses or short tutorials called Skill Snacks, featuring courses on business, web development, education, finance, leadership, photography, and more. Get your 30-day free trial now. Log on to skillfeed.com/radio. That's skillfeed.com/radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
Unwrap. Hidden Beach. What?
Well, good evening, PRF Table listeners. Welcome once again to another hopefully an exciting show tonight. I can tell you that Brother Feaster is sitting on pins and needles, ready to jump out the starting blocks. And your host, Adia Sanders, is on the other line with us as well. And I'm your host, Brother Dunlap. So all three of us host this thing together. If you've been with us for a little while, you know we don't have any hosts and co-hosts. We all do this just like the apostles did back in the day. Everybody did whatever they was called to do, but they all did it collectively. So that's how we get down on the PRF table. Tonight, we're going to be talking about giving. We're not going to be talking about it from just a general perspective, but the way that we're coming is the way that God has given it to me. And tonight we're talking about church giving. So with that, let me just go ahead and call on Sister Adia to say, how are you doing? And welcome back. And just give us a little bit about what's going on and what you feel about this topic tonight.
Well, good evening, everyone. I think the topic of giving is important. We can always quote a lot of scriptures. We can talk about giving from how we were raised. But giving is something I think that everybody in society can play a role in. And I just think that it's very important that we talk about the topic and that we as the host speak from our hearts. And also for you as the listeners to speak from your heart, questions that you may have, any misconceptions or myths about giving, this is the venue that we want to open the floor to all of those ideologies, to all of those ideas that people may have about giving. And then I think it's important for us to look at what does God say about giving, because like I said earlier, we can talk about the scripture. We can quote scriptures. I'll say that. We can quote what the Word of God says about scripture. But if we are not hearing or even being able to feel the pulse of God's heart about what he says about giving, then quoting those scriptures are just that. So we definitely want to make sure that we set the stage and the platform to plant a seed on tonight. And I just encourage everyone, including myself, to just dig deep, look within yourself and see where you are when it comes to giving. And I think we're just going to have a great show on tonight, and I'm looking forward to hearing what we all have to say and definitely allowing the Lord to just really have his way as we talk about the topic of giving on tonight, Nate.
Amen to that. And something off the gate that you said I thought was really, really good. You talked about planting the seed. And one of the things I thought about when you said that was, you know, for some people, some of you that are out there listening, the things that God has given us and our experiences that we're sharing and learning with you on, they may be just that. They may just be planting seeds, whether it's about giving, whether it's about any of the topics that God gives to us or have us to address on this show. So, yes, it's true. You may be just being the one tonight that is having a seed planted. But then there's others out there as well that we don't want to forget about, and we want to make sure everybody understands that. There's some individuals that have had some seeds planted, and some of those seeds may not have taken root for whatever reason. So I think God has allowed us this venue, this style of ministry, to be able to help water some of those seeds that have already been planted so that they can grow, because it's really about all of us growing to our full potential. I can promise you that if God didn't place this on my heart, if God didn't give me the go-ahead, I've been doing Blog Talk Radio for the last couple of years now. It wasn't until last year that he gave me this idea and told me to take this ministry of PRF, which he gave to me back in 2008, and told me to go forth with it on Blog Talk Radio. So, you know, for some it's going to be about planting a seed. Some of it's going to be about us watering. So take whatever you can take from it and let God do the rest. Brother Feaster, good evening, sir. How are you doing? What's been going on? Welcome back. I know it's only been a week, but welcome back.
Well, I am here. I am seated for right now. We'll see how they go a little bit later on. And I am ready. I've listened to the show last week two, maybe three times, and it just amazes me over and over again some of the things that I've heard while I was listening to it. It seems like every time I listen to it, I hear something different. And some of the things that I remember hearing last week is, you know, just a couple of things that we talked about. JR, you started off last week talking about, and you asked a question, if I had more, would I give more? And you and I went back and forth on that, and it was interesting because I really believe that in most cases that's a cop-out. A lot of times people say that just so that they can give you the feeling and the sense that they want to help and they want to touch your innermost self and make you feel like they are, you know, in tune, but for the most part, they're not willing to do the sacrifice part of finding the time that they have where they are to actually come in and, you know, if you have the passion, if you have the desire, you won't find the excuse. You will always find the reason. And then we started talking about what do you think about when money is discussed in your church. And, JR, I like what you said after we concluded, as we were concluding the discussion. You said, because a lot of people think about, you know, you said giving. When we think about giving in the church, what do we think? And the majority of us begin to think about money. And I like what you said at the end of that discussion when you said that if we as parishioners hear giving in the church and instantly begin to think money, that's not always a hit on me as a parishioner. It's also a hit on me as the leader, because that goes to show what direction I am leading the people. One of the things that's always said in the military, and it's one of my favorite lines in the movie, Denzel Washington played the football player, Titans. Remember the Titans? The line where it said, attitude reflects leadership. And so if we as the parishioners, when we talk about giving in the church and all we can think about is money and digging in our purse and digging in our pockets, then that's also a responsibility as we as the leaders. You know, what part have we played in that? Or where I like to go, what part can we play in changing that? And after that, we started talking about, you know, you asked the question, does your church allow time for discernment during giving time? I've actually been thinking about that over the week, and I must give credit to one of my pastors. He would always have a minister get up there and do a mini sermonette. He didn't really give us a time limit. He said, what I want you to do before the offering gets up there, I want a minister up there, and I want him to just pick a text and talk about giving. And I learned from that exactly what you're saying. He was giving his parishioners, those that he's been charged with, he was giving them the opportunity for that discernment. And he, you know, I ain't said this in a long time, but he told them, stay away from the beatdown scriptures. Stay away from them. Come out, you know, find another. And through that, I learned that there's so much mention about giving in the Bible that it just blew my mind the time that I was there at that church during that time. And after we concluded that discussion, we got into the topic about what really is biblical giving. I think that's how we ended it. And it got kind of heated on both our parts. But what's really biblical giving? And it kind of rolls right into the discernment and the whole discussion, but we talked about the whole night. Because a lot of times, like we already said, when we talk about giving, we think about money. But then there's so many other avenues, so many other directions, so many other places where we can give. And we brought up, Romans 12:1, and you're supposed to give up yourself. You're supposed to give up your will. You're supposed to give up who you are. And that's when we really get into giving, because it's no longer about my time. It's no longer about my talent. It's no longer about my money. It's no longer about my resources, but it's about my will. It's about being what God did in John 3:16 when he gave his only begotten son. So that's kind of what we talked about last week, and we're going to continue on this discussion, and I am so ready and so excited. I didn't realize that this is the second most passionate subject I've had since we started this PRF table. So I'm seated for right now, but we'll see how long they go.
And, you know, this is what I know. When God moves us from giving to the next subject area of PRF, whichever one it is, and let me just say this. Giving, I believe, is the fourth lesson in the PRF model. And it's amazing that we just don't go in order. That's a good thing. That means it's a God thing. You know, God has given us the topic. We already have the topics, but how he's laying this thing out to us for us to lay it out to the people is based upon how you as the listeners are calling in. You as the listeners are posting on Facebook, possessions.resources.finances. That's how this thing is supposed to work. So we're just going to go ahead and get right into it. Tonight's show, once again, is about church giving or giving to the church, however you want to transpose those two words. We already know that giving is one of the most critical things inside of the church. So really tonight what we're going to be looking at, ladies and gentlemen, is looking at three different questions. The first question is, how do you give to the church? Question number one. The second question, how does the church give to you? Question number two. And the third question, how is giving tied to community inside and outside of the four walls? You know, we probably have some people that may want us to hit number three, but let's just go in the way that God gave it to us. How do you give to the church? How does the church give to you? And how is giving tied to the community inside and outside of the four walls? These are central questions that we're going to be dealing with. So we hope and we pray that you'll think about them, you as the listeners, that you would consider how important these questions are. In addition, Brother Feaster, Sister Sanders, in addition to the answers that everybody else has, the answers that people have been given, and that everybody just seeks God for themselves for further understanding on what we're talking about. So with that, let's just go ahead and get started. We do want to say one thing is before we get started. If you are listening, just press 1 on your dial pad or on your phone. We'll see you light up on the switchboard and just jump into the conversation. We at the PRF table, we welcome everybody to have a seat at the table because it's about everybody being able to voice their opinion. It's about everybody being able to share how God has shared with you, shared your experiences, because we all learn from each other that way. It's not a one-sided thing. It's a thing of multiplicity all the time. So, Sister Sanders, did you have anything else in response to Brother Feaster or anything that you wanted to bring before we go at it?
Not right now, no. I'm good.
Okay. You know, I'm trying not to monopolize this conversation because I know Brother Feaster is in the ready, set mode. Oh, and I do want to say this. We all, myself and Sister Sanders, we do thank everybody for their prayers for last week. And if you go to the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, you'll see a treat. Some of you may not know what Brother Feaster looks like, myself or Adia, or you may only know what I look like. So we have placed as a cover on the PRF page, Possessions, Resources, and Finances page, a picture in the background that shows all of us so you can match the voices with the pictures. I think it's going to be kind of easy for Sister Sanders. I don't think it's going to be that easy when you look at Brother Feaster and myself. So if you don't know which one is which, just ask us. We'll tell you. We'll post it out there. So let me just say this. One of the things that God revealed to me on this subject of giving, especially when it comes to the church, is not, and let me say it like this, it's not a difficult, this is how he gave it to me, it's not a difficult subject. if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, you know, we're going to be dealing with a difficult subject. We're going to be dealing with one of contention. We're going to be dealing with something that people don't want to talk about. God revealed to me that that's not the case. I think one who thinks that it's a difficult topic has to ask themselves, or maybe you can ask them as those listening, for people who have that mindset, a simple question of why. Why is it a difficult topic? Why is it a thing of contention? You know, when we ask a question to somebody, we have to be ready for the answer. So let me read something that I quoted and I posted yesterday. This is what I posted yesterday. Children often ask questions because they're curious and they want the answer to the question. Adults often ask questions they already have the answer to in their mind, that they already believed others won't have the answer to. They ask questions that are a way of avoiding or shifting a conversation. And a lot of times, we as adults don't want the answers because the truth hurts and it requires honesty on their part. My point is, questions will still remain and healing would take that much longer. So when I thought about that in relation to this, what God had gave me about, it's not that hard. It's not like people think. He reminded me that we had hundreds of people that listen to these shows every week. We have a lot of people that call in. So what we have to do is we can't focus on the ones that think it's so hard. We just need to give them whatever God has given us. So that's what we're dealing with here, and we'll continue to deal with it as long as God allows us to do this, because for us, this is ministry. This is not just us coming onto the radio every Thursday night at 8 p.m. because we have nothing else better to do. Brother Fisa, you know, it goes back to something that you reminded me of a couple of weeks ago that I used to say often, and I'm talking about this in respect of or in light of this question of why. You told me, you reminded me and everybody else that I used to say what? You have to have courage enough to kill.
Yeah. Yep.
See, you can't deal with somebody who has been given or who has given so much to the church. You can't deal with somebody like you want to. You know, whether they've been given to the church or whether they've been given so much money over several years or whether they've been a faithful tither and then the church they belong to rejected them when they needed help. You can't deal with someone, whether they were a young person, a young boy, or a young girl who saw their mom struggling financially growing up. But yet and still, what did she do? She always gave to the church, oftentimes giving her last, and then the kids went without. Then they get older and they have a sour taste in their mouth regarding the church and regarding money and regarding giving. Or what about, and you just mentioned it, Brother Feaster, the beatdown scripture in church regarding tithes. Malachi 3. And then people feel like they're a failure, as the 60-something-year-old woman expressed herself when we were dealing with tithing. And then they don't want to think that their giving of offerings is good enough for their level of faith. Because they don't understand that it's not God crucifying them about this. It's man that's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are other ways of giving to the church other than money. So again, this thing of how we minister, how we educate, how we teach, how we learn from each other, how we share with each other, whatever you want to call what we do and how we're doing it on the PRF table, one of the bottom lines for me is that this is always going to be foundational. Our motives, this is how it is with us. Our motives are always going to be that we have to have the courage to care.
Mm-hmm.
I think we do. So it's just like, to me, it's just like the caller said last week, or maybe I'm adding a little bit to that person's statement. God is first and foremost concerned about our giving to him, which means that our monetary giving is secondary. It's secondary. That's all he gave me, bro. That's it.
That's actually pretty profound. If we really would think about that, I mean, just think about what you said. If we say that again, I'm so profound, I missed it.
God is first and foremost concerned about our giving to him. which means that the way we give money or our monetary giving is secondary. That's not the primary thing. That's not the primary thing of giving. The first thing is giving of ourselves to him.
I mean, if we really just think about what you just said and just take it in its simplicity, I mean, just not even dig deep into it, not even get all theological or even biblical, just in its simplicity. I mean, Jesus grew up and there was no mention of money in his life. There's no mention of him being rich. There's no mention of him being living high off the hog. There's no, really not a whole lot of mention on him and money. I mean, just that simple example shows you that it's not really such a big deal about money. I really believe that when it comes to giving, I've learned so much. I've learned so much about giving in giving than I have ever in receiving. And it's not always giving of something that I have that I no longer need anymore, but a lot of times it's giving of something that someone else needs. For example, I have a cousin that, I have clothes that, my wife told me this, I have clothes that if I don't wear in a while, my wife will put them things in the bag and they're given away to Goodwill or some needy organization. And I told her, I'd rather give them to somebody that I know. I'd rather give them to somebody that there's nothing wrong with giving away to Goodwill and Salvation Army and all these other organizations and these other, needy causes and everything. But I really find joy in giving it to somebody that I know. Not like I want to see them wear it. Not like I want to gloat and be like, man, I gave that to you. I don't know. I just find joy in that. And so this happened last week. I went to go visit someone, and I had some clothes that I just didn't wear anymore, and they had actually been sitting in my closet for a while trying to find some place to give them. And I come to realize that this particular person and I were about the same size. And so I took him the clothes, and the thing that really got me out of the whole thing, the thing that really got me was when he said, I was just telling my wife I needed some more shirts. I was just telling my wife I needed some more shorts. I was just telling, my wife, and it was everything I had in the bag. And it's so funny because as I was giving it to him and he was laying the stuff out, I was like, man, I still like that shirt. I was like, I can still wear that shirt. Maybe I need to take that back. He's like, no, bro, you gave it. But it was just, it made me feel good when he said, I was just telling my wife I needed some more. And I felt, I just had this warm feeling, this warm sensation was like, you know what? It always feels good doing godly things. I was on my way to this person's house. So I didn't go out of my way. I didn't go out of my way and purchase anything. These were things that were still in good condition. And half of the stuff, I just got tired of wearing it. So I was like, well, let me give it away. And the other half of the stuff that I just had worn for a while and I didn't want to wear it anymore. Either way, I really didn't. To me, it was really nothing special. It was doing what I always do. Giving away clothes to someone I know that, may be able to use them. And the feeling I got when I heard him and his wife say those statements, I still feel the joy. I still feel the excitement. I still feel the way. So I'm learning more in giving in a biblical sense. And I'm going to bring this question up again. Now, I asked a question, I don't know if it was last week or the week before last, and I asked the question, is there any responsibility of the giver? And we kind of kicked that around, but there is a responsibility to the giver.
Sure.
I wear a large shirt, 32 pants, 34 actually, a little more waistline than normal. So if he did not fit those descriptions,
then my responsibility would have been not to give it to them, because it would not have been, it would not have been beneficial. And that's where I believe I was hearing what, and I really wasn't paying attention in this case. It's just something that was thrown out. I really believe when we do it God's way, we get God results. I was on my way to the house. I gave them the stuff, didn't think anything about it, and ended up having just this overwhelming experience that I just truly just felt like I just fell into the bosom of God himself. So I really think that in the process of giving, another reason why I don't really like that cliche, if I had more, I'd give more. Because if you had more, you do more of what you're already doing. We prove that every time we get a raise. You know, if that was the case, every time we get a raise, we would do more in that sense of what we're saying. But yet, all we do is cater to our own needs. We get a bigger house. We get a bigger car. We get nicer clothes. And I'm not saying that's anything wrong with that, but that just goes into, I don't like the saying, if I had more, I'd give more. God honors us when we value the little things and we take care of those little things instead of blessing us with so much more. I mean, JR, you said it plenty of times, you know, with your experience and your knowledge, you could take somebody and get them out of debt. I think you said in 6 weeks. But shoot, 3-4 months later, they're going to be coming right back to you because there was no learning, nothing beneficial in the process. You pulled them out the hole, but you didn't teach them how to climb out the hole. So that part of giving, I'm learning so much in the process of giving. That's why I like that thing you were saying, you know, about if we understand that God wants us more before he wants anything else. That's the foundation for biblical giving.
Okay, well, see, I like what you said, and I just wanted to tie it in because one of the what you said was that giving is beneficial and that there is a responsibility on the giver. So as a person who goes to church, it is my responsibility that when I give to my church to make sure that my giving is going to benefit the church. So in church, we're talking about the members. Doesn't matter if it's the pastor or the usher, but my giving should be beneficial. Am I hearing you correctly?
That's what I said.
Exactly.
That's what we talked about that on the first show.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so I want to make sure that I understood that, because what that does is that when we give to our church and our giving benefits the church, that means that the church, the body, those that are at the church, that they receive something. And so I think that is so important. Like I'm just really trying to figure out how to frame, because I'm excited right now to know that when I give to my church, that my giving is beneficial. And when somebody benefits from your giving, just like how you said your cousin benefit from it, that means that there was a need. And so because there was a need and we were able to meet that need, then what I see is that when we do not give, we are not benefiting anybody in the church. And if we continue,
wow,
or if we do not continue to give where it benefits somebody, then we are walking in selfishness. So I think that, you know, forget money. I don't have a job, I ain't looking for no job, but I can clean like nobody's business. So when I clean, if I know that I can clean, then that is something that I can give to my church. I may be the best baker. I may be the best intercessor that God has put on this side of the Mississippi or the Mason-Dixon line. So when I'm praying, and I'm walking around that church or in my home or driving in my car, whatever I give, it should benefit. And so sometimes I think we misconstrue giving, that we got to be able to see the results of our giving. And I'm really glad that you talked about how you were able to give to your cousin and it benefited him. down to the same size clothes that he wore. That's the kind of God that we serve, that when we give the way that God instructs us to give or lays on our heart to give, we benefit from it. Somebody benefits from it. So when we're talking about the church, I think that it is very important that we keep in mind that, one, if we have a gift, that we should give it with our whole heart, with everything that is within us, because somebody is going to benefit from it. And whether we ever see it or not, the biggest thing is that because it's the church, everybody benefits. We may not know how, we may not know when they're going to benefit, but everybody benefits. And so I just think that I know we've talked about our gifts and our talents and our resources, but if we can just take a couple of minutes or seconds just to reflect on what we can give to the church,
mm-hmm.
and how everyone will benefit from it. I think that a lot of the issues, and I'm not saying all, but a lot or some of the issues that we see going on in our churches today will begin to decrease, because in our giving, we're giving from our hearts. We're not giving because we're trying to showboat. We're not giving because we want to be recognized at the end of the year in the gold club or who gave most money. But we're giving because we know that the recipient is going to benefit from that gift, from our giving. And I think that is just probably, I mean, like, hearing myself say this, I'm just like, you know what, God? I'm excited to want to give now. No matter
Amen.
What it is, like, I'm excited to want to give, because now I understand that somebody's going to benefit from it. And that is so far more important than doing the beat down scripture. Because who benefits from the beat down scripture if we feel embarrassed or ashamed because we can't give monetarily? Who benefits from it? The church does not benefit from it if I can't give you money because I don't have a job. But the church benefits if I can cook and give some food to somebody else who might not be able to cook, or if I can teach somebody how to write, or if I can teach somebody how to add or subtract, or how to read, or how to sing, or how to play an instrument, or how to put together a Bible study that they said that God gave them. If I can do those things, then how many people will be impacted and benefit from that giving, from one person? That's just one person giving. Imagine if 500 people in a church are giving. I am so excited right now. I really, really am. And Feaster, I thank you just for giving just that one word of benefit. Because the word of God tells us in Psalms that we are daily loaded with benefits. Daily we're loaded with benefits. That means that God is giving to us every single day, and we are benefiting from it. And how dare anybody in the church hinder somebody else or block somebody else or be a stumbling block to somebody else when they are the person that should be giving to help daily load somebody else with benefits.
Ooh, look at it. You know what? If you're reading the following us on the Facebook page, possessions.resources.finances, you'll see that I just posted a comment probably about a couple minutes ago that said, there she goes. Because when it gets a hold to you like it does, Adia, you have to let it out. We have been watching and observing, and some of us have been actually in the struggle of trying to allow God to allow us the opportunity to help people in this area and all the other areas of PRF that we deal with. It's important, y'all. It's crucial. Take what my cousin said. Take it to heart. She said, let us just think about it for a minute. So I'm going to sit back and think about it, and I'm going to let this caller, caller from 4961, have her comments or his comments. Caller 4961.
Good evening, everybody. I am so blessed by tonight's conversation. This table is full of food tonight. I came on when Brother Cecil was speaking, and it just blessed me to hear how he blessed someone else, and it was exactly what that person needed. And I can recall those days, just giving makes you feel so good. And when it benefits someone else, that's the blessing for the giver. And Adair, here you come, and you come, and you preach, sister. Oh, my goodness. I have to say this to you, Adair. You gave me something tonight. It's not always monetary. It's not always material or transparent, but some things that we do and say is enough. And I had a very disturbing conversation today that took me out of my element. But what you gave me was a reminder that that person who called me, I had something to give them, and it was very beneficial to them. Oh, my. Y'all, I'm so full tonight. Y'all got me hyped already. It's been about 3 minutes I've been on this line. But, Adair, coming to New Orleans, I know that my ministry is marriages. And I see Brother Feaster every day posting beautiful posts about marriages. Well, today a young lady called me. My husband and I, when I was married 10 years ago, we were very good friends. And I'm so sorry for taking you guys off of the main subject. But we were very good friends with another couple. Well, I've learned since I've come back that that couple has divorced. I called to kind of minister to both the female and the male who are part of the marriage. However, I didn't get anybody. Well, the girl who broke up their marriage, whoever she was, she called me today in an uproar. So I did have something to give her, and it was beneficial for her, Adair, and you reminded me of that. However, being me, I went off on her. So I just thank God that I have this conversation tonight because I didn't want to quit. I'm the old Paula, want to give and keep on giving and giving and giving, but what I had to give today earlier, it wasn't of God. So y'all brought me back to who I truly am. And I know that what I have to give her is a word. Because that it's horrible enough that she broke up this marriage, but she's bragging about it. And she doesn't even know me, has never seen me, but she knows that I was their friend. And she called to tell me don't call her man because I was their friend, I'm not her friend. But anyway, back to the subject at hand. Giving is such a blessing. And the benefit of the giver is if you gave something and you don't feel that feeling that Adair was just talking about, then you ain't give to somebody who it benefited. You know, like Brother Feaster said, when it benefits somebody, it makes you happy. You feel like you done gave to God. And that's what I believe that Christ was talking about when he said, you know, did you come and visit me? Did you feed me when I was hungry? Did you give to me when I didn't have? And I believe that's what he meant. You know, those people who truly benefit from receiving, it blesses the giver as well. And I do apologize, y'all, for sharing, but I just had to let Adair know she blessed me. You just gave me something, girl.
Let me say this, Paula. Something that you said. You said, sorry to take us off main subject. Here's the thing. This is exactly why we're talking about this. This is exactly why God wants us and is allowing us to communicate about giving to the church. The reality is, it's not all monetarily. Right? We have already said that. And if you even read the Bible, you will see plenty of times where man will say, the Pharisees, they asked Jesus a question. But he didn't even respond. He didn't answer the question like they wanted it to be answered. He responded what he knew they needed to hear.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody out there, Paula, of you giving of yourself, saying, I didn't do this right. I needed to be brought back. That is a gift within itself that I pray to God that anybody listening to what you just said can realize that that is a gift. But with every gift, it has to be received.
Amen.
We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. We don't know who's going to come up to us or going to be in any of our circles, whether it's at work, church, or wherever, that's going to do some more crazy crap that we're going to want to lay unholy hands on them. So by hearing what you said, that may be that word that is already a seed planted that will bring us back before we even go there.
Amen. Wow.
JR, I want to jump in on this. I really think a lot of times, like, Paul, I'm listening to what you said, and you said that you didn't give her you gave her a piece of your mind, pretty much is what you said. But I didn't hear, and this is me speaking. Based on what you just said, she called you in such a way, she wanted a piece of your mind. You gave her exactly what she wanted.
Right, but I didn't give her what she needed. I didn't give her what would have benefited her, because if I would have given her the ministry that's within me on marriages and how that's sacred to God, maybe she would think about what she did and she won't mess up another marriage.
Amen.
But even with that, Paula, I know that sometimes we have to be careful about what we say to people, because we always want to be received. You don't know, and then I'm just speaking, and I would say maybe she needed to hear
right
how you said it. And like I said, it may not have been what you wanted to give her, because you know the ministry that God has given you. But sometimes people are in such a place of loneliness, brokenness. And for anybody that will break up a marriage, that right there already sets the stage of where that person is emotionally and mentally. And I don't know what your conversation was with her, but I'm willing to bet that no one has probably been able to stand up to her to say what you said to her. And I have to believe in my heart that it will come back around again, because one, she would not have had to say what she said to you about, because you were their friend, not to call her man.
Right.
And I'm just looking at, so I always tell people that when you look at Jesus, everybody says, you know, Christian, oh, I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. But people fail to realize that Jesus challenged the very core of who people said that they were.
Yes, sir.
He challenged the very core of who they said they were. You have the Sadducees and the Pharisees who said they knew the word. They were these intellectual men who knew the word and who knew the law, and they were educated. But yet, when it came to just the simple things of God, they couldn't comprehend it. And so when Jesus spoke to them, he did not come with the message that said, let's hold hands and sing kumbaya. He did not give them a word that says, just turn around three times and y'all going to be able to get what I'm saying.
Right.
He spoke to them in such a way that it challenged them to where sometimes they said nothing or they had to question within themselves.
Yeah.
And Jesus would come back and say, well, until you answer my question, then I'll answer yours, since you're so smart.
Wow.
And so we fail to realize that sometimes the words that we give people, they may hurt. They may be mean, and we may have to say, Lord, I am sorry for what I said, because that was not the heart or the intent of how I wanted that message to come out. But sometimes people need to hear it. They need to hear the rawness of what they've done. And so sometimes when we give, it's not going to be the way that we want to give to them. sometimes when we give to people, it's not going to be the way that they think they're going to receive it, but yet we give because we know they need to hear the words, or they need to hear, they need to receive what it is that we're giving to them. Sometimes you got to give your family an eviction notice that you can't stay here and continue to waddle in whatever it is, your despair or your distress or your situation. No longer am I going to allow you to blame other people for your mishap. So I'm going to give you something. And it may be hard to swallow. You may not like me, but I promise you that if you get up off of that seat of do nothing and hear what I'm saying and receive what I'm saying, you will see light at the end of the tunnel. And we too busy trying to sugarcoat stuff for people.
Yeah.
We're too busy trying to make sure that when we give something to somebody, well, I don't know, let me just give it to them at night because I don't want nobody to see that, you know, that they got to get these clothes and stuff from me because then, you know they the pillar in the community.
Right.
You don't want nobody to know that they you know, got hard times right now, so we ain't going to give when everybody can see because we don't want nobody to whisper and talk about that. Sometimes people need to see that so that they know that it's okay. Giving doesn't mean that it's going to be easy, just as well as receiving. Sometimes we're going to receive and we're scared, or we don't know how to receive because we've never had anybody give to us from their heart because they've always given to us and it's been mean and it's been harsh and it's been selfish. So sometimes for the receiver, the giving can be hard because we've never had anybody be bold and stand up to us or just love us and just give to us the way we needed it to be given. But when we give and when we receive, we are truly being a blessing and planting a seed. And I think that that is far more important than how sometimes we feel, because our feelings change from minute to minute, day to day, hour to hour, year to year. And I believe what you gave that young lady and what you will give her is going to be far greater than probably what most people have spoken, said, and done to her with materialistic things in a long, long time.
As you was talking to Dee, I was thinking about when I was in Korea, first time I was in Korea, and this guy came to visit me and to my room, and it was on a Sunday afternoon. I was a choir president at the time, and at this particular time, on Sunday evening, they had, it was called Ultra Bowling, I think it was, and they would dim all the lights and put all the neon lights up, and it was really a club atmosphere. It really was a club atmosphere. Well, this particular day, one of the guys from the church in my unit went to the Ultra Bowling, whatever it was called, and after he went there, he came to see me, and he was like, you know, it's a whole lot of your church members, your choir members in there, and they're drinking and they're partying and they're dancing. And then he got to talking about this guy at church had read this poem called Hell Is Real. And based on the way the conversation was going, I began to say some stuff that as I was saying it, I was like, Lord, I can't believe I'm saying this. It was direct. It was harsh, it was mean, it was cruel, it was not sugar-coated, and as it was coming out of my mouth, I visually saw myself reaching for those words, trying to buffer the blow. But the more that I stood there talking to him, the more that I wanted to say, and the more that I had, more that I just had to say. I had to say so much more. And when he left, I think I did this for like 20, 35, 40 minutes. And when he left, I said, Lord, oh, my gosh, he will never talk to me ever again. I was like, oh, my gosh, that was so mean. So, I mean, it was all biblical. It was all Bible, but it was all directed. I was speaking to the very essence, to the very soul of this man. But I didn't see that. I felt bad because of what I was saying, that it was so harsh. But remember, when Jesus, like Aaliyah just said, when Jesus talked to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, he called them hypocrites, brought them. He didn't say anything nice to them. So as the hell left, I'm praying, like, oh, my God, Lord, I can't believe I said all that. But you know what, Lord, if that's what you wanted me to say, I just prayed that I was obedient and this and that and this and that. And I went to sleep. And we had an alert that morning. So 4 o'clock in the morning, they come around banging on the doors. And I get dressed, and I'm running out my door. And I close my door. And as I'm locking my door, I look to my right down the hall, and there he was. And I was like, well, we'll see how this goes. As soon as he turned and looked left, he saw me. He said, hey, Tito, man, what's going on? And I was like, oh, my God. That was what he needed to hear. It may not have been what I wanted to say, but that was what he needed to hear. And, Adia, I'm a co-sign that thing, what you just said. Sometimes we really want to care about the person's feeling. Sometimes we want to care about our image and our appearance. But as we're talking about giving, sometimes you just got to give what you got.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. One of my favorite songs growing up was "My Gift Is Small, It Is My All." All I can give is what I have to give. And the only thing I got left to give is me. Because the courts could come in and take my house. The finance company come in and take my car. You know, the judicial system come in and take my rank. I ain't got nothing but me. I'm standing out in the middle of the street, cars flying by, and the only thing I got is me, and I'm just waiting on somebody to acknowledge this. That's all I got left. That's all I got left. So sometimes you just got to give it the way it was given. And the way you tell the story, that's what she needs. That may not have been what you want to give her. And if the Spirit of the Lord is who he say he is, and if God is who he say it is, when we give of God, it's going to be received godly. Everybody that came into the presence of God did not walk away happy. If I'm not mistaken, the rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, what do I need to do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, well, you know the Ten Commandments. He said, I've been doing that since my youth. Mm-hmm. And Jesus looked at him. And the Bible said Jesus looked at him. And he said, sell what you have, give to the poor, and follow me. That rich young ruler turned around and walked away from God.
Couldn't handle
it. Because he could not give it away.
Yep.
So everybody that comes into the presence of God don't always walk away with this exuberant, great experience. Like, you know, you go to these churches, and they're talking about, we had the presence of God in the church, and everybody come out sweating. I'm looking for watery eyes. I'm looking for bowed down heads, because when God speaks, he don't always say what we want to hear. So we just got, when we talk about giving, now that we're talking about biblical giving, oh, we can't look at ourselves. That's go back to what we're talking about, JR.
Oh, we can't
worry about ourselves. We just got to be obedient. This is biblical giving. This right here is biblical giving. When we're giving up ourselves for God to use us, and then and you were saying how, you know, what happens if I can't see the benefit? A lot of times when we're being used of God and we're giving things of God, a lot of times we'll never see the benefit. This ain't got nothing to do with PLL, but that's where faith comes in. We got to have a faith to believe that God is who he say he is. We got to have a faith to believe that God is going to do what he said he was going to do. That's why I like hearing people and churches and organizations of God, Christian organizations, say stuff like, I don't know, I'm not worried about the bills. I got to do what God said to do. Then one time, I came to your church, and he said, we're giving the money for these two services to this organization. We're not worried about the light bills. We're not worried about how much money it takes to run this building. What we're going to do is do what God has told me to do, and we're giving all the offering to this organization. That's biblical giving. That's when God is honored. And if I know my Bible right, when God is honored, God is pleased. And when God is pleased, God rewards. And I know that old song said, you can't beat God's giving. Woo! Oh, all right, I'm done.
Nate, I'm telling you, I got two things. I got three things from what Feaster said. And from what Paula said, when he talked about that young rich ruler, and I love that story. That is such an awesome example of receiving from, I mean, gosh, to receive from Jesus himself, oh my goodness. But he did not receive what God gave him, even though it benefited him. That's just one point I want to make. Jesus gave him something. He didn't receive it, so there was no benefit. He did not benefit. Even though there was a benefit there for him, he declined it. So it's okay when people don't want the benefits. But then the other one is that giving of ourselves for God to use us. When we give of ourselves, God is using us. I mean, and there's no greater thing. And I just wanted to share this third thing. When you was talking about seeing the benefits, on last week, it was just laid on my heart to buy some school supplies and give to one of the poorest schools in Robeson County in North Carolina. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. I was like, but I don't even know what store to go to. I know kids are going back to school, and I was like, I'm not going to Walmart because it's early in the morning. And so I went to Office Max. Y'all, they had notebooks, paper for 1 cent. I'm talking about one brown Lincoln penny. They had a limit of five. When I told the lady that what I was doing, she said, double it and get as much as you want to get.
Wow.
I got the composition books. They were on sale for 50 cents. They had notebooks on sale for a dollar. They had folders on sale for a dollar. So one of the things that I can say is that when God tells you to give, he will orchestrate and direct whatever it is that he's laid on your heart to do to where it will not be that burden to where you're just like, well, God, you know I ain't got number $50 in my hand and the stuff is going to be this much. So when you were talking about Feaster, about how giving is a blessing to us, I found the blessing that God knew where I needed to go because he already knew that the stuff was going to be on sale. He already knew everything was already put together. And these children whose parents don't have the money to buy their stuff to go back to school with are going to have not everything that they need, but they're going to have some of the things that they need. But the point that I'm making is that God will bless us to be able to give to others, even if we cannot see it. But even in that, he will bless. The other blessing that we receive is that if we're worrying about if we have enough money or we're worrying about how much of whatever it is to give, God will, he cares so much about us. And he knows our situation. And because he placed it on our heart to give, everything is going to work out. And so I'm just, as you were talking, I'm just like, you know what it is? Here's the example, the real life example of you don't have to worry about the benefit or seeing the benefit of the blessing because God put laid it on your heart to give. So that's enough for me. That was enough for me to know that somebody, some little boy or girl, some parent is going to be blessed to where they were worrying about how's my child going to get this or that. It's already been done. And it started with the father laying it on my heart or laying it on Nate's or Paula's or some caller on the phone's heart to do something and where we were trying to figure out what store to go to. Well, how is the stuff going to be on sale? I had no clue. I just knew the Lord said, hey, I want you to buy some school supplies and give. And I was just like, well, Lord, I don't have time to run all over Fayetteville or Hope Mills. But he knew where I needed to go. And the ironic thing about it was that I was just at this store the day before and the day before that, and I never saw the paper. I didn't see the notebooks. I didn't see the binders. I didn't see the folders or the composition books. I didn't even see any of that stuff when I went in there. I didn't even know that stuff was on sale, and it was on sale when I had went in the store. But when God does something, He will open up your eyes and he will lead and guide you in every path that you need to go in order for his will to be accomplished, and not just the life of the receiver, but also of the giver. And I just want to share that with y'all, because somebody needed to hear that and to know that if God lays stuff on your heart, he already has everything else figured out. The only thing you need to do is just rest and hear him so that he can guide you to wherever it is that you need to go, or hear him so that you can say whatever it is that he needs to say, and the rest is going to be done.
How do I come behind all of y'all? You know, there may be somebody that is listening or will listen to this show with the archives, and they say, I thought y'all were going to have three central questions to tonight's show. One of them, how do you give to the church? The second one, how does the church give to you? And the third, how is giving tied to community inside and outside of the four walls? And if you were listening very, very closely, and, you know, sometimes God speaks in a very still voice where you got to really, really be paying attention. But Brother Feaster don't talk quiet, y'all. Sister Adia doesn't talk quiet. When the Spirit of God moves inside of them and they have so much inside of them that God is allowing them or urging them to get out. If you really pay attention close to what they were saying, they answered the first question. How do you give to the church? Sister Paula did too. How is giving tied to community inside and outside of the four walls? That's what I'm hearing. You know, real life giving to the church should also mirror, or maybe does mirror, the same thing that we should do outside of the church. It really shouldn't be that big of a difference what we do inside the four walls and outside. We're supposed to take care of each other inside of the four walls. We're supposed to take care of others outside of the four walls. Here's the reality. Nobody wants to come to your church if you can't take care of the people inside of your own church.
That's right.
It is really unrealistic to believe, let me say it differently. It is silly to believe that if the people outside of the church walls cannot visibly see that we are taking care of each other inside of the four walls, I guarantee you they feel that they are better off outside of the four walls. So we have to make church attractive again for those where churches are not attractive at the present time. I'm not going to say that it will never be attractive. I'm going to say at the present time, for whoever that is, wherever it is, we have to make sure that church becomes attractive. Not where is what you were talking about, Sister Dia, where, or Brother Feaster, where we just get this good feeling and then go home. It can't be like that. So the questions are being answered. But just like Jesus, they're not being answered in the most simplest way to some, or the way that some people's mindsets have been made to hear. I'm glad that everybody is taking the time to really communicate how y'all have been communicating. Adia, I like the fact that you said Jesus challenged the core of people. What we're talking about tonight, what we're going to continue to talk about as long as God allows us and directs us to continue on this subject of giving, it has to be challenging to some people. It's challenging to me to hear some of what y'all are saying, because it's not a traditional, let me backtrack, it is not a religious way of thinking. It's a spiritual way of thinking. And if I'm not mistaken, Jesus Christ himself also challenged religion.
That's right.
He didn't challenge the things that were spiritual because they worked. He challenged the things of religion because there was a mindset that people had to get out of so that they could have life and have it more abundantly.
Mm.
I don't know about you, but I'm tired of a whole bunch of people being broke, busted, and disgusted in the church.
And Jesus
Christ dealt with the needs of people. And if you remember, this is where we started off this subject of giving. He dealt with the needs of people. So we have to deal with the needs of the people. It is a twofold process, as Brother Feaster said. It's a sender-receiver relationship. As Sister Paula said, it's a sender-receiver relationship. Let me just share with y'all something that I thought about on this subject about how do you give to the church. And I know we already had dialogue in the other shows about purposeful giving, and we tapped that, or we talked a little bit about proportional giving. To me, when I thought about this question, y'all, I thought about trying to sum it up in one word, the word value. Let me try, and this may be my last comment, I don't know. Let me try to explain it how I really believe and feel that God gave it to me as a notion of value. I know we've already snooped this myth about giving is not just about money. We've talked about that. So everybody who's listening over the last couple of shows, we should already know that that's just not what it's about. That being the case, we know that that is nothing but what we're talking about is nothing but the truth. So watch this. Giving is about your possessions, it's about your resources, and it's about your finances. So when it comes to the church, don't be happy, don't be satisfied, don't be duped, don't be ignorant that as long as you're giving finances to the church, that you're doing all that God has called you to do. I mentioned last week Exodus 25 and 35. We saw that it was not for building up the tabernacle with Moses and the Israelites, the children of Israel, that it was not all about the money at all. It was about what work that the men did. It was about the linen and everything else that the women brought. It was about when everybody brought what they were able to provide, their possessions. The individuals were the resources that put all the things together. Somebody had to do the work. So I'm glad what we've seen tonight is that there are so many different layers and so many different aspects of how to give to the church. And this is what I thought about as you were talking to Dear and Brother Feaster. Y'all were really referring to things that really weren't church related, but everything that you said was kingdom related.
That's right.
Everything that y'all said was kingdom related. So I know I posed that question, how do you give to the church? Because some people really need to hear how they're giving to the church or question themselves about what they're giving to the church so that they can understand, so God can reveal to you that it's not about giving to the church, it's about giving for the purpose of the kingdom. We can sit in silence for the next 8 minutes, and I'll be cool with that.
So would I, because I ain't got too much more to say. I'm just like in awe right now.
We're not even done with these questions. We're not done with the questions. We'll probably come back again next week and talk about them and peel the onion back a little bit more. I want everybody to understand, this thing is not about giving you a PRF lesson and letting you go about your way. That's what happens in church. I know I'm a preacher. I know I'm a minister. I give a word, I may not see you again. And I can feel good about giving you that word. But here's how God orchestrated, here's how God directed me to deal with PRF. Don't invite me to your church to come and give you these lessons of PRF and not be able to have follow-up with you. Because it's about giving of myself. It's not about making money. It's not about traveling. This thing is about giving of ourself. I know a church right now that it is hurting right now. Pastor left them. Quit. They're hurting. Money is not going to help that church.
Right.
I know some of the members who may be listening. Money is not going to help that church. What's going to help is a brother or sister or individuals coming in as God leads them to help them with the healing process. That's giving to the church. So guess what? As people see, let's say it's me. Let's say it's me. Let's say God says, you're the one, Brother Dunlap. And let's say I go and I give up myself to help that congregation with the healing and bringing back to wholeness. People outside of the church walls are going to hear about it. You know why? Because the people inside the church walls are not going to be complaining about their hurt. They're going to be testifying about their hurt. So what we do on the outside of the walls is so much tied into what we do on the inside of the walls. I'm done. We thank everybody for everything that you have contributed tonight on this show. We pray that God is that you allow God to use this for your benefit, but not just for your benefit, but for his benefit, because in the end, it's really about him getting the glory for what he's able to do with this. I can tell you now, one of the things that we're gearing up to do is we're going to be spotlighting and asking a couple of individuals and organizations to come on the show and talk about giving from an organizational perspective down the line. So if you know some individuals that are inside of the community that are givers of themselves, reach out to us, possessions.resources.finances. Let us know who those individuals are. Let us connect with them because people need to hear about what people are doing. I don't want to hear about what people ain't doing no more. Keep it to yourself. What somebody ain't doing unless you try to do what they ain't. Goes back to the same thing I said earlier about asking the question why. Why are they not doing what they're doing? Maybe they're hurt. Maybe they need some healing. I thank God for everybody listening. I thank God for you, Sister Adia, for you, Brother Feaster, Sister Paula, for just keeping it real with folks. We've been going for almost an hour and a half tonight. Couldn't do this in church. So it has to be done on nothing else but the PRF table. So with that, we'll see you next Thursday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And as we go off, just smile. Just smile and know that God loves you. God bless you.
driven me crazy, crazy.